Have you ever faced anxiety to the point to where it was debilitating, to where your health was in jeopardy, where you didn't know how to get out of your mess? Well, you're not alone. I have faced similar challenges, and I have invited someone who has expertise in this area to help us overcome with clear strategies when we're against the wall. Dr. Robin Graham, what a treat. She has a best-selling book on anxiety called You, Me, and Anxiety, Taking Action Over Anxiety to Enjoy Being You. She has a globally acclaimed podcast, The Robin Graham Show, and I can't wait for her to join us in this two-part series on overcoming anxiety, understanding what it feels like to be an introvert in an extroverted business world, and really branding ourselves around our best possible foot forward. Can't wait for you to listen in. I'm Dr. Nate Sala, and this is A Call to Leadership. Dr. Robin Graham, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Nate. I'm super excited to be here and happy to get to hopefully inspire your listeners and maybe create change out there.
Oh my goodness, yes. In fact, change. What an important word that we have. Change can be daunting. It can be stressful, but change is necessary. Since you brought it up, we might as well just go right into it, right? So change, I've said, if we don't need change, we don't need leaders, because leadership involves progress and it involves change, because you cannot hope to progress without change. Because progress means moving from one space to another. And if things are okay the way they are, then there's no need for progress. But we always know that things can always be better, no matter how good it is. So this also can have problems in life, because we can resist change for a lot of reasons. Sometimes we're anxious, sometimes we're concerned, sometimes we just don't know what's going to happen. And that keeps us from actually making decisions in life. Let's talk a little bit about anxiety, pressure, stress as it relates to change in your world.
So I've had a lot of change in my world, and I've had a lot of anxiety. And it's not necessarily that the two have gone hand in hand. I innately have had anxiety since I was a young child. But when I was growing up, people didn't recognize it as anxiety. They just thought, oh, she's shy, or oh, she's making this up, or she should just get over this. But the reality was that my physical symptoms of severe stomach pains or headaches or inability to go to school because I didn't feel well were actually stemming from anxiety that nobody recognized back then. So I lived my whole life with that. So I would experience change differently than someone who, say, didn't have anxiety, because when you have anxiety, your brain is going on this just rapid course of what if thoughts. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if I do it wrong? Or what if they don't like me? Or what if the house catches on fire? Everything is exaggerated. And that's how I lived my life for many, many years. And that anxiety would escalate when change was about to happen. And fear would set in. And it's almost, if you can envision, you know, like in the cartoons where somebody has their heels dug in, you see all the dirt flying as they're being pushed forward. That's kind of how I felt so many times, like someone was dragging me through the trenches to get me to the other side to be able to do something. And I think there's a lot of people out there feel that same way. But the most beautiful thing is that most of the time, change is, first of all, necessary. Second, it can be very exciting and fun. And third, it almost always ends in something more positive than what we were experiencing beforehand. And so it's really navigating those what if thoughts and changing them from a negative what if thought to, well, what if this is really great? What if I meet amazing people? What if I succeed? What if this is our avenue to make $1 million or to be seen as a leader and invited to speak on stages? Whatever the case may be, it's an opportunity to take that action and actually change those thoughts so that you can navigate it and be able to, instead of having somebody pull you in or drag you in, step into the experience.
So appreciate how you opened that up, because rarely do we embrace change from the perspective of this could be better in the future. It's usually, oh my goodness, this is a nuance, it's a distraction, it's going to get in the way of my routine. I'll give you an example. Just the other day, I was in traffic, as many, many, many people are in traffic. Someone listening right now just might be in traffic.
In traffic.
And I was using my GPS. I use my GPS from time to time. on my phone in case there is an alternate route. And this particular morning, it was the alternate route. I thought, man, this is going to take forever to get to the office. And it took me on a route I had never been before, which was a shortcut that I didn't even know about. And I was like, my goodness, I've been taking this route for how many years? And the inconvenience of a minor distraction, or what I would consider a change, it was like, oh my goodness, thank goodness for that change, because now I have an easier route to get to where I need to go. Now, that's a very, some people might say that's trivial compared to like major change in life. And there may be other changes in life that someone experiences, that someone's experiencing right now, that is extremely stressful, perhaps a loss of a job, perhaps a loss of a career that was going in a direction that they thought was going to be the big one. I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of change. I have in my vocation. And I had a business years and years ago. One of my first businesses was a check cashing booth. So I had a currency exchange way back in the 90s, mid 90s. And it was like a flea market. So you can imagine lots of stores, and I would cash checks for all the different vendors. Well, that business ended up closing, and I had to make a decision. Do I keep this going or do I let it go? I went and saw my uncle, and he said, you should just go ahead and close it down. Something better is coming. And I didn't know what it was. I was really stressed out. I was so stressed. It wasn't just that. I was hemorrhaging cash because I didn't really know how to run a business very well. And so most business owners, when they're just getting started, especially I was in my early 20s, I didn't know what I was doing. And so then what did I do? I racked up a whole lot of debt. And you talk about anxiety and stress. It was so bad. It was affecting my health. And I was even beginning to ulcerate. And the doctor said, look, you've got massive stress. You need to lay off of the soda, all the things that are irritating your stomach, as well as you need to reduce your anxiety and stress levels. And like when someone tells you that, okay, that's great. But the bigger question is, how? What can I do to reduce that anxiety that I'm inevitably facing when I'm facing a high challenge situation?
That's a really good question. And I think it really is specific to individuals. However, saying to someone, get over it, does not work. Just telling someone to go home and decrease your stress is not going to work, because we need tools. But I can tell you that from a mental health perspective, from a mindset perspective, our brains were created so miraculously that we can actually change the neural pathways in our brain. So no matter what situation you're being presented with or what you're walking through, you can control how you approach the situation, and you can choose to wallow in self-pity or stay in a state of high stress and burnout, or you can decide to take action to make changes, positive changes, and to think more positively. So what I like to do, and in my book, I talk about this, is the 5 C's of navigating anxiety. You could use this 5 C's of navigating negative thoughts. I couldn't say all those words together. But you can use this method to kind of kickstart retraining your brain and how you think of different things. So when you're having, say you're going through a high stress period, you can choose to stay in that high stress environment, or you can choose to make changes. So the first thing that you can do is catch the negative thoughts. So if you are thinking to yourself, I'm stuck, I just have to live with the stress, I'm a failure, I couldn't do this, now I'm a loser because I have to close this business, or I lost my job. Catch those negative thoughts and then challenge them. Would someone, like say your uncle in this story that you just shared with us, would someone that you love and trust say the same things about you that you're telling yourself? Would someone that you hold in esteem be judging you the way you're judging yourself? Are these thoughts actually realistic? Or are these thoughts, for example, and this may sound extreme, but could they hold up in a court of law? Chances are that the answer to those questions is no. And if the answer to those questions is no, then it's time to change those thoughts. So how can you change those thoughts? Pen and paper can be your best friend. For a lot of us, it's very hard to meditate. Meditation can help change those neural pathways in your brain, but so can journaling. So if you're not that person that can sit in that state of meditative silence and pausing that way, journaling can become a very good alternative. And you can actually write down those negative thoughts. So for example, I have to close my business. I'm a failure. My company was bleeding money because I'm not responsible with money. You can actually change those thoughts on paper and write them out, the positive alternative to those negative thoughts. And the more you do this, the more you catch those negative thoughts and change them to positive, the more confidence you're going to have, because you're going to be able to control those thoughts faster and better. And that ends up being the key, is anytime those negative thoughts come in, being able to catch them and ask yourself, okay, why am I thinking this? Is this realistic? Would my best friend or my spouse or my partner say the same things about me? And if not, then change those thoughts. This is, sounds easy, but it's not one and done. This is something that becomes a daily practice. And ultimately, you'll be able to catch these negative thoughts faster, these judgmental thoughts about yourself or others or situations or circumstances, even change, and you'll be able to navigate those more positively.
Yeah, that's great. Words matter in our own, for starting with our own ideas and what we believe about ourselves and the world. And those words have power over our behavior, over our motivation, over our, ultimately, our beliefs. And our beliefs, is what I like to say, is it's what we are to be living. So what we believe is what we end up walking out in our lives. And so appreciate how you've outlined that, because as I think about it, and I'm just using myself as an example, those days and early years of stress and deep anxiety didn't happen overnight, but slowly changed by some of those same habits that you're talking about. And they are habits, as you had mentioned, with the neural pathways and opening up new neural pathways for new ways of thinking, and really identifying that you are not without hope, and you are not without an opportunity for this to be overcome. I always say, unless you've taken your last breath, there's always hope.
Yeah. And you bring up something interesting, Nate, because for those who don't know, our beliefs, so what we've been taught to believe, what other people have encouraged us to believe, what we feel like we have to believe from a cultural perspective, a faith perspective, our beliefs influence our thoughts. Our thoughts influence the choices that we make and the behaviors, and because they influence our emotions. So when you have your beliefs, your thoughts, your emotions and feelings, and they're influencing the choices that you make and the behaviors that you choose, those things are going to determine your outcomes, your results, how you approach life in general. So it's really important to know, what is your belief system? And if you're believing negative things about yourself, that you're not capable, or there's always going to be somebody else better, or that you're a failure, whatever those negative things are that you're believing, you're going to stay stuck in this cycle of negativity, because that's all you believe about yourself. So you really do have to start to change from the inside out. No one else can change you. No one else can make you happy. That's a choice that you have to make to then be able to move forward in a more positive way.
Yeah, that's good. Someone listening right now saying, okay, I get it, but you don't know my situation. I have faced so many challenges and my circumstances have not yet changed. I am still in the same rut I was in 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And while that's true, that doesn't mean that your circumstances haven't changed. You might find that there have been changes within your circumstances as context changed, but has your mind changed on what is possible and putting yourself in perhaps a different circumstance? Sometimes our environment plays a big role in our beliefs and our behaviors. I'll give you an example. Fast forward a few years, and I had my business that was a paging and cell phone business. And this was a tiny little shop that I had. Of course, I had my accounting business. It was just tax. It was only seasonal. So I had all these other businesses before I started a full service accounting and advisory firm. And so I had one of my buddies was sitting in the back of my office with me. And he said, you know what, Nate? You've done a good job. You've created a business that's working. You've got employees working for you. Started working out of that debt that you amassed. Your stress levels are lower now. I can see that you're not struggling with all that anxiety because you've been changing some of the beliefs in your mind. Even this, as he looked around the office, he said, you can do better than this. In fact, his four words, you can do better. I had never heard that before. Now, my mom, I grew up and she told me that I can do whatever it is that I dream. she was very encouraging and she didn't have a lid. But where I was at the moment, I had not even thought that environmental change was really even in my purview. It wasn't even in my vision. And at that moment, I was like, you know what? You're right. I can do better. That's not admirable. Not that folks that are in that position aren't doing well, but he knew my heart. He knew my heart was to reach for my very best. And that was maybe 50% throttle, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think something that you're touching on here is that for someone who is seeing their life as this always happens to me, I'm always stuck, or I can't get out of this situation. There's what I like to refer to as situational mindset modeling, which is doing these exercises, but doing them consistently. I guarantee you, if you change your thought processes and you do so like in a consistent practice for 6 weeks straight, you're going to start to see a difference, because the way you see the world is controlled in your mind. And we're already set up for almost failure, so to speak, because of negativity bias, which is innate. It goes all the way back to our ancestors, the cavemen, where they had to be on high alert. They always had to be looking for something so that they could protect themselves readily. So when you think that we're already two-thirds exposed to thinking of something negatively, or looking at something more negative than positive, or holding on to the negative longer than the positive, we have to take the action to change how our brain or our mind is functioning. So one thing that can help with that is, like in your situation, looking at an obstacle as an opportunity. So if you could look at a mistake, a fail, I don't like to say failure, because I really believe that anything that happens, happens for a reason. And then we learn from that and go forward and grow. But say you have an obstacle that comes up for this person listening, who's like, I just can't get a break. Look at these obstacles as opportunities. And when you start to see that, okay, this is another stepping stone, another hurdle that I really don't have the energy to get over, think of it as the opportunity that's on the other side of that big step you have to take. But do so from a place of gratitude, because gratitude is a natural antidepressant. And when you look at something that's happened to you and you can say, oh my gosh, I can see the blessing in that. And to start a gratitude practice, it's really simple. Every day, before you close out your day at night, put your head on the pillow, write down 3 things you're grateful for. And when you do this consistently, you're going to see changes in your life. You're going to see how your brain starts to look at the positive more than the negative. You can think about, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in traffic. Like your example earlier, I'm stuck in traffic. I can't get out of this mess. I'm going to be late for my meeting. And then your coffee spills on your shirt. And then the contents of your bag fall on the floor. Well, guess what? Maybe you running late and getting stuck in traffic saved you from the accident that's happening. And you've now just avoided being in a traffic accident. That could have been really bad. You know, there's always a little blessing. Maybe the coffee that you spilt on your clothes were black, so nobody's going to know there's coffee on them. You know, it's like looking and trying to find the positive versus the negative, because the more we do that, the more we can see life in a positive light.
Yeah. And the positive light is energizing. It is life-giving. It's fuel. You think about the examples they're using. I love the gratitude. I love it. I live by that as well. And I actually was thinking about one of coaching students, also a client and a dear friend, who has, they have their words of affirmation they share as a family. And these are daily words of affirmation that simply are life-giving, and they remind us of the blessing. People ask me often, as they ask you, how are you? That's a common question mark. I have several responses. My go-to is, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And people generally laugh at that. And I'll say, I wish I was. And I'll say, well, it's not about knowing that you are. It's about speaking it. It's about speaking them. And what it does is it reminds us, as an instrument of gratitude, that I have to remind myself of how blessed I am. Even the small things, like being able to breathe. Right now, I can take a breath. And someone right now is struggling taking a breath. And it's not that I want to say, well, I'm better than you. I want to empathize with that, have compassion. At the same time, I want to walk in gratitude. I'm so grateful that I have this. And someone else may be struggling in another area. And you want to have, I believe, compassion and empathy for that. At the same time, being thankful that I have those capacities so that I can then share and give. I think one of the ways it's probably not used very often is that when I'm feeling sorry for myself, pitiful, is to go serve someone else in need greater than my own. It creates a couple things. It creates not only, of course, a sense of gratitude, but it also creates this idea of serving is it takes my vision and my focus off of feeling sorry for myself in the moment. And I'm not saying that people don't go through difficult times. You've gone through difficult times. I have someone listening here maybe going through a very, very difficult time in life. And you may not be in a place where you can serve someone else. And that's okay too. But even then, look at the environment that I'm in. Because if I'm in a stuck situation, I'm constantly stuck. If I'm just spinning my wheels, as you had said, say, for example, my car is stuck in mud. Well, there's nothing that's going to change and allow me to get out of that mud in the same way as I got into it. In other words, unless I make a change, unless I take some gravel, I stick it under the wheel, or unless I get a board to give me some traction, or unless I get five or six people to help me push it out of the mud or call a tow truck, unless the environmental conditions change, nothing is going to get me out of that ditch. I have to change that. In this case, with my buddy, he was part of that environmental change. I think a good question, I'd love to hear more about it from your perspective, is asking ourselves, taking an inventory of who around us is speaking in our lives. Are they speaking the negativity, the pessimism? We call it negative self-talk when we talked about public speaking, or the positive. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have people in your camp who are constructively criticizing. When we say, hey, you know what, maybe helping you find roadblocks, but those people are actually working to improve through a positive approach to sharing how we can grow together and be better. But there's those other kinds of people too, right? There's those people who really don't want the best for you. We call them naysayers or clawing in a bucket. One of my buddies would say that they're like crabs clawing in a bucket. They don't want anyone else to get out of the bucket, so they keep clawing everyone else in.
Yeah, yeah. So you said so many things there, Nate, that triggered thoughts for me. And, you know, it really does become about looking at life as though it's not about us, but it's about others. And when we demonstrate empathy, we stimulate positive neurohormones, neurochemicals in our brain, dopamine, serotonin are actually stimulated when we demonstrate empathy for other people. And when we get curious, we can change our outlook on things. Because sometimes when someone says something negative to us, maybe they're coming from a place of lack, of insecurity, of jealousy, envy. Why are they saying something to you? Is it because they don't want you to get ahead? Or is it because they're concerned for you and they love you and they don't want you to have something bad happen? But if you get curious, instead of just assuming that what they say is what you should believe, discern their, get curious and then discern what they're saying and ask them the question, okay, what do you mean by that? And really discover. Communicate, have an open dialogue instead of just making those assumptions that they really don't want me to succeed. Because then those negative thoughts just drown us in imposter syndrome, comparison, and we go down this path that's going to cause us to procrastinate and not take positive action that's going to move us forward. So I love to think that life isn't really about me. It's about how I'm serving other people and demonstrating empathy and compassion, like you said. Being kind and generous. So even if we can't serve someone physically, we might be able to pray for them.
Yeah.
Or we might be able to just send them a note, a text, an email and say, hey, thinking about you today. Because sometimes when people are really down on their luck, that's all they need is just to know that there is someone out there thinking about them. But I think that discernment is really key and really discerning what you're hearing and what you're experiencing and noticing, is this really meant for me? Or is this someone else's perception or understanding or what they're trying to drive forward for their agenda versus something that would ultimately be related to what's going to be the best for me and my life and my decisions? And I love that you said that the example of the tires in the mud You know, Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing that doesn't work over and over again. You never get results. And it really does become about, okay, if this isn't working, how can we change this? And sometimes it really is just being maybe empathetic with other people, but also getting really curious as to why isn't this working? And then making that, taking the action to be able to change whatever it is that's holding you back.
Absolutely. And asking the right people, by the way. So I don't know if you've ever seen the movie RV with Robin Williams. It's a very popular movie. And he's at this RV park and he doesn't know much about how to run an RV, including how to get rid of all the waste. So he's trying to figure out how to get the sewer set up. And he has a couple guys come to help him. And it ends up being a total disaster. I mean, just if you can use your imagination, what happens when it all explodes? And another character in the movie says, you know, the problem is that you're listening to two individuals who you shouldn't be listening to in the first place. And your situation is now worse than it was before you started to try to get yourself out of a jam. And I think in life, it is that way sometimes as well. You know, we have to do take an inventory. These individuals who I'm counseling and consulting, can they help me get out of this ditch? Or perhaps are they the people who actually got me into this ditch by perhaps erroneous advice or just folly? This is such an important piece that you're talking about, the discerning piece. I have to discern who is in my camp. What am I listening to? Because we're pliable as human beings. So it's a blessing and a curse, because on the blessing side, it means that we can change and adapt. On the curse side, it means that sometimes what we're learning or the ideas that we're taking in are possibly leading us to have more pessimism, more anxiety, more negativity. Gosh, I don't know how long you can listen to the news, but I can't listen to it for too long before I have to just turn it off. In fact, just the other night, especially what's happening right now in the Middle East at the time of this recording, and I had to turn it off after about a half an hour and put something that was encouraging and optimistic on to just remind me that there is still hope for humanity and we can take part in it. I love how you just expressed the aspect of prayer and just walking in unity with people and just letting people know that they are important, that they are not forgotten, and that you can sometimes, when someone is too weak to carry their own faith, that you carry it for them.
And I think that comes down to what hope is, right? But again, because you focus so much on leadership, and leadership is a choice as well. So we've talked a lot about choice today, and there are a lot of people in the entrepreneurial world or, you know, business world that will say, you have to be on social media to build your business. You have to create content every day. You have to do video. You have to do reels. And it's always a you have to. And this is back to where that discernment comes in. Because for some people, especially if you are anxious or an introvert, you may not want to be on social media, or because there is so much negativity and so much risk of comparison and imposter syndrome, that may not be the place that you want to be able to grow your business. So there are other ways you can do that, and you don't have to do what every single other person says you have to do. You get to choose your path to success. So I guess it kind of seems like I went off on a tangent there, but the reality is when you are a leader, you make the choices that are best for you and your business, you and your family, you and anyone else that is in your world or your realm that you're living in and being in. And instead of doing what everybody else says, you get to choose what works best for you, feels best for you, isn't going to drag you down or take you into a state of despair and increased stress. And so I just wanted to emphasize that, because I really think it's important to realize that when you discern, you'll know what's right for you versus what's right for somebody else.
Well, that's a good place to talk about this idea of your brand, your image, what it is that your social media presence creates for you in a business. Thank you, Robin, for helping to round out this first part of a very important episode. I know that you have learned some techniques to overcome the anxieties we inevitably face in life. Stay tuned for the next episode as we conclude our conversation. It's going to be so good. Rounding it out on aspects of introversion, branding, and how to win in business.